Welcome to episode 6 of Radio Sentai Cast Ranger. We are once again being usurped by Mr. Paul over here.
Yes, I am continuing to be the protagonist of this show by becoming the impromptu Green Ranger. I will continue to rake in the bitches.
And get your own Ranger key, hopefully.
Yeah. You mean like
Toys R Us exclusive.
You mean like that Pink Ranger?
There is going to be a Pink Ranger one. Time Force Pink.
Yeah. All right.
Not what I was referring to, but okay.
Screw it. Cue the roll call!
We're live!
Redcaster, Joe Raven!
Bluecaster, Sheena Zazeel!
Greencaster,
Blackcaster, Ransack!
Pinkcaster, Legend!
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet!
Radio Sentai!
Cast Ranger! On air!
Alright, so today we are talking about Gaim episode 24 and Tokyuger episode 7. Mm. So, we're going to do our discussion points in the normal Sentai order this week. So, let's jump right into Gaim.
Kamen Rider Gaim!
Alright, Mr. Redcaster, start us off.
I don't know, my whole thing with that episode was essentially just down to Jimba Peach.
Yeah. Oh,
hey,
Peach.
Enhanced senses form. Where have I seen that before?
Yeah, I'm so glad you had the same thought I did.
I'm just like, hey, it's
Kuga Pegasus.
Hey, it's
although
Kuga Pegasus.
Although I don't think they've clearly established. I think it is super hearing, but there was some confusion about it might be some sort of mind read ability because we don't know if Michi was speaking out loud or thinking that line.
Yeah, that's true. He looked more like he was walking around monologuing.
I like to think it is super hearing because you hear the two overlords talking to each other.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, that could just be when you're talking, you're still running through your head.
That's true. So
but yeah, no, that was the point I was thinking of because Michi kind of looked like he was silently thinking to himself.
That wouldn't be something he would say out loud.
That's not something he'd say out loud.
I thought it was both.
It could be.
Like you said, it just seemed to be like you said, yeah, what you say makes sense, but I don't think that's something they'd go so into. As, yes, he probably did actually overhear the overlords.
Yeah.
While only hearing Michi's thoughts, because they did add a sort of, like, echoed effect to it, whether or not that's just the perception of him hearing it.
I think it is, because Kuga Pegasus did the same thing.
But, yeah. You were right, it didn't seem as though he was talking or talking to or at anyone in particular.
Yeah. Very much looked like his mouth was closed when that was going
on. And he doesn't
on.
Exactly seem like the type to talk to himself.
No.
Yeah, no, not at all. So, yeah, something like that, more than likely. So now we've officially got a speed form and a super senses form.
And I guess Lemon is the power form.
I'm assuming.
So now I'm curious to see what Jinba Melon does.
Yeah,
it's probably going to be defense, since, think about it, like, Zangetsu has
a shield. Yeah,
he has a shield,
though. It's probably the Titan form of the bunch.
True.
It's probably the exact thing he needs to finally actually maybe beat him. Maybe.
We'll see.
Maybe. We'll see. He can just... Well, even in Kachido,
it's
he
like,
was like, yeah.
It's like, what does the Melon Jimba do? Let's him win for once. What? Yeah, but what does it do? That.
It's
a plot device.
It's Victini.
Yeah.
Again, it's a plot device.
Platinum Angel.
Yeah. But no, there was that, and the fight with the overlords was kind of like, hey, why'd you turn off Kachidoki?
Yeah, serious.
That was another, I mean, I understand you switched over to Jimba Peach so you could figure out where the fuck they were, but why didn't you turn Kachidoki back on?
Yeah.
It's that thing where you were getting your ass... I have the same issue with Wizard a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Where it was like, okay, now I understand what you're doing, and you're in Flame Dragon right now, but really, your ass is getting kicked. This guy kicked your ass before. Why haven't you not just defaulted to Infinity at this point?
We need to elongate the episode.
I know. It's that same thing of, just use Infinity already.
Hey, as Akiba Ranger has taught us, using the super form too early is disastrous.
I know. But he's just getting his ass kicked repeatedly.
Yeah, yeah.
And then just, no, okay, now I'm going to use Infinity. Oh, look, I won in one shot.
Welcome to the tropes.
Yeah, welcome to that. It's like, oh, look, I won in one shot. I should have done this from the beginning, and then never do it from the beginning ever.
Nope.
In fact, do it sparingly throughout the remainder of the
totally.
Show.
Yeah. Even though you've established there's absolutely no downside to using it, you know, hey.
It could kill everything too quickly.
Oh yeah, totally. That's such an issue.
I might have some free time.
Yeah.
Placing hyperforms in a rider series is always kind of tenuous for me, because if you don't scale the monsters up and the threats up proportionally, after introducing the hyperform, and when you introduce the hyperform, it tends just to go super robot logic and be completely and utterly unstoppable.
Yeah.
So you really need to up the level of threat for the show if you're going to introduce the super form. And if Kachidoki is the super form for the show, they
well,
can...
there's
not the final form, but it is a super form.
Okay.
It is the current best thing he has.
Yeah, it's currently been shown to be pretty OP.
As a person who is very close to being caught up but isn't quite at the same episode you guys are at, are the monsters being scaled up accordingly to deal with Kachidoki?
Well,
oh, heavens no.
Well, the overlords might. They're
I would call the overlords scaling up the monsters.
There's very limited.
They've only been shown in like one or two episodes so far.
Yeah.
Well, then they haven't.
But then again, Kachidoki's only been around for one or two episodes as well. So that's they started introducing the enemies that could probably, you know, match up to that at the same time when they brought.
So the scaling up is happening.
Then again, the invests have never been the focus of the fights in this show.
That's what I was about to say. Fighting the monsters has never been the point.
It's always been rider versus rider that's been the main issue.
Yeah, but you guys also know that they often tend to incorporate monsters that sort of, like a Nogi sort of guy, like a monster that's incredibly powerful that's got a personality. Like it's not just a
Steve.
That's the overlords.
Yeah, I feel like that should be coming up pretty soon. And like these
that's
overlords
what's happening.
Should be.
Yeah, that's
more
exactly
powerful.
What.
Like,
well, they are. They absolutely.
They're learning to speak Japanese.
Let's put it this way. They whooped his ass in the Jinba forms.
Yeah,
they literally like unceremoniously
and this was
fucking
this,
whooped
and
them.
This was the same episode he got the form, which is really bad.
Yeah,
which probably makes me think that Jimba Peach isn't that strong.
It's not
probably
strong.
It's
super hearing.
Yeah, exactly. So,
though at least
anyways,
he was trying to reason with them.
Though at least it doesn't seem to have the drawback that Kuga Pegasus does.
True.
You know, I'm going to use it for 30 seconds, and I just lost all power.
Yeah.
There's a limit on that one.
There's an improvement already. Anyways. Yeah.
Aside from that, not too much in the way of plot. I mean, Kota kind of gave away exactly what Michi wanted to know immediately.
Whoops.
It's like, I want you to go investigate who's helping him. Oh yeah, I got my snip from DJ Sakura. Okay.
Damn it!
Like, I don't... Investigation. I'm just gonna walk up to him and ask. He'll be stupid enough to tell me.
And he always does.
All the time.
Which is understandable. He trusts Michi more
he
than
does.
Anyone.
He does, but aside from that, DJ Sagra appearing in a very Star Wars-esque hologram, talking to the overlords.
In their language.
In their language, which makes you wonder, once again, hey, DJ Sagra, the fuck are you?
I'm still sticking with my theory that he is an overlord.
Same. I'm very much thinking along that line of thought right now, too. He just knows way too much about Helheim, can speak the overlord's language, and shaped his own fucking lock seed out of an actual goddamn fruit.
Within Kota's dreams.
Within his dream. Yeah, no, I'm going with that idea too. I think he's an overlord at this point.
I love his whole nobody's meddled in my affairs yet thing.
That's
like,
exactly.
They don't think he's a threat.
He's literally just sitting there like, nobody's been meddling in my evil schemes.
Wasn't it even a matter
can
of
meddle in my evil schemes? Like, I think I can competently meddle. And he's just like, oh,
it's,
okay.
It's
here,
more
have
like
this for the meddling.
It's
give
more
me
like
something to do.
It's not necessarily, hey, meddle in my schemes. It's hey, put on a good show, and I will keep giving you the means to do so.
Mm-hmm.
But this was like, someone even brought that up. Like, someone was very adamantly trying, and Takatora wasn't having any of it.
Yeah.
It was just kind of like, are we sure we don't need to keep a closer eye on this Sagra guy? Nah.
He's just a YouTube celebrity.
Yeah, like, they literally like, he could be a big threat. Nah, he's okay. He's not gonna do anything. Meanwhile,
Takatora, the
whoa,
same guy.
Dragonist.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Takatora, you know, the same guy who didn't realize there was a Megazord battle going on outside his window. Not exactly the most observant.
Canon, not canon.
one of the most serious faced guys in the show, not looking that bright these days.
Yeah, he's not exactly the most observant person in the world.
He's definitely too set, like two eyes on the prize. He's got tunnel vision now.
It's like, absolutely. What? It's like, what's that? An evil organization appeared in the city, aside from the invest? Are you sure you don't need more sleep? That's bullshit.
Yeah, just...
I like it. It's giving Takatora some unexpected depth.
Unexpected dumbass.
I was going to say unexpected dents.
Yeah. Exactly.
Something like that. Anyways, that's all I got for this episode.
Okay, so one of the biggest things I noticed about this episode in particular, I realized, you know, I never get tired of watching Kumon Kaito, Mr. Baron, the very power-hungry character in the show, no matter how he touts his whole "I will be the strongest" bullshit, consistently gets his ass kicked. Like, even his Mango Sparking attack, which is at this time his strongest ability, was completely meaningless against the Overlord he was fighting. It just makes me laugh to no end. Also, apparently, his definition of researching and understanding in a new culture is to punch them in the face.
He was gathering combat data on them.
That is the excuse.
Said it. He was there to gather combat data on them and very little else.
No, but the thing is, even after she was like, "No, we got the data," he's like, "No, I have to. We came here to research. This is the easiest way to do it."
So wait, am I to understand that Baron just, like, waltzed into, like, the UN or something and just started punching people of various ethnicities in the face?
Basically. Apparently, the whole Sengoku team was like, "Yeah, these things are in the forest. Go investigate them so we know what their deal is." His first thought was to go in and start fighting them.
You said investigate.
Yep. We made that pun in episode 4.
That was the title of episode 4.
That's callback.
But the UN's okay, right?
So far.
It's as okay as it ever is.
So, for all we know, they could have sent a squad of Kurokage troopers.
A lot of fucking good that would have done.
Yeah. I'm not sure how much you're kidding.
Kurokage troops come back?
Random secret service guy could probably take out the Kurokage troopers.
Yeah.
You mean stormtroopers?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Another thing that happened in this episode that's pretty much my favorite point. So after this whole meeting where Michi drops the Sagara bomb, the Sengoku team decides their quickest and most ideal reaction is to not target Sagara, but hey, we should finally shut up Kota so he stops doing things. And who do they choose for the job? They send Cid, Kamen Rider Sigurd, the guy who already lost before Kota got the Kajidoki lock seed. And they really think he's going to beat him now? Yeah, doesn't go so well.
He had his trump card.
He had his, "Well, I better actually use my trump card this time," excuse, which his trump card turned out to be absolutely useless in the face of Kachidoki.
Yeah, someone else is going to talk about that one. But yeah, aside from what happened in the actual episode, I'm actually looking forward to next week because Bravo and Grodon are finally back! Also, apparently, Jonouchi crossplays for some reason.
It's probably a
because trained by Baron.
Bravo.
That's what I meant. I did that earlier today.
Okay. Yeah, those are my favorite parts of the episode.
Going back to the trump card mention, the Cid Lockseed. I mean,
we finally see what it does.
The whole time, and I mean, I remember they released the commercial for the toy, and Lane's like, "I'm totally gonna get one for my collection." And I was like, I don't even want that. And it's just like, why? Because it doesn't fucking do anything. It absolutely does nothing. It's just a lock seed he has because he's Cid and he's the guy you go to for seeds. It just wasn't conventional, so I didn't think anything of it. And of course, me overthinking the fact that it's frigging Ryoma Sengoku, of course this thing does something. And boy, does it do something. He puts it in the Sonic Arrow. And all of a sudden, okay, Auto Suika, get into the action.
Yeah.
Yep. All three.
How did I not think of that?
All three of you, and I was just kind of like, "God damn, where do I get one of these?"
I know, right?
Now, here's my thing. I want to go ahead and say that they're probably going to find something else to do with it, in that it's not exclusively for Suica. That was just the first logical and practical route to kind of show it off. Imagine if it could do something like that with, let's say, Ichigo, where he kind of autonomizes these, and now he's got, like...
But the thing is, all it would do is create, like, the arms fruit. What, like, would it spawn, like, a soulless body to use?
I would imagine it would, like... I don't know how, through the power of Grayskull, him mind-controlling, like, just this swarm of kunais or something. I don't know. I'm just thinking... I'd like to think it does more than it autonomize... Suica arms?
It creates an autonomous Suica, yeah?
Yeah.
As we know it.
Well, he threw up 3 Suica lock seeds and then shot the thing through them, and then they all turned, opened up, became the big mecha thing, and then fucking auto-go.
Well,
which is where I got the Ichigo arms idea in the first place, because he has to shoot the arrow to activate it anyway. What? So he'd turn a single shot into, like, a rain of kunai.
Well, I don't want to bring practicality into everything, but, like, When the lock seeds open up, they turn into the big fruits that land on your head, and they fold out into the armor.
Yeah.
Really, the only thing that can replicate is the armor portion.
That's what I'm thinking.
Stuff is pretty unique to the rider. Suica arms, in and of itself, is a gigantic watermelon that has a fully fledged mech in it. It just folds out into a mech.
Yeah.
So it's you can see it being an autonomous thing because it's all in the thing.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be able to just animate, like, you know, fully-fledged armor from lock
seeds. That's what I'm thinking.
Which is unfortunate, because maybe that's me just trying to use my imagination to see something in there that isn't there.
This is the wrong show to use your imagination in.
It's not Tokyuji, man.
I'd also like to hope that it does something in the belts.
Yeah.
That's why we're looking forward to getting
the Sidlock
seed.
Well, right
now,
you know, is that the DX Sidlock seed, it, like, if you press the back button, it, like, says, like, stuff that Sid says, so you'll just hear...
Well, we know from the show that putting it in a weapon, like the Musou Saber or the Sonic Arrow...
Of him taunting someone?
Yeah, that's...
Or
that voice...
Yeah. Ogexen! Oh. Ogexen!
Do you think Sid is based on the Pusher from Clone High?
Not
specifically.
Not at all.
No.
I don't think so.
He's just the dealer.
But he's the pusher.
Yeah.
He deals out fruits to the kids.
Oh my god. Raisin arms!
Well, yeah! He's the guy who's
well,
not...
there's already...
Did he give Michi Budo? Or
yeah. He is the pusher.
He's like, I want a Sengoku driver, and he's like, I don't think
he's
you need a Sengoku driver. What would
like
your brother
kids
say?
These dangerous fruit, say
listen,
go
it doesn't matter.
I'm gonna take over this. I'm gonna take over this company.
Make friends with me while you can.
It's like you owe me this, and he's like, yeah, okay, whatever.
No. The way he handles it is absolutely flawless. Like without missing a beat, he just gets up and walks away, and he turns back to him and says, "If I forgot something, you'd be a good little rich boy and return it to me, wouldn't you?" Just walks off. Meanwhile, Michi's looking at the belt and Lockseed sitting there on the couch. If I was, I would. And that's how we start realizing that Mitsuzane Kureshima is more than he seems.
Speaking of which, so this rival of his, have we met him before? And
he
I
was
just
probably
couldn't
in
be bothered
one,
to remember.
He was probably in the last shot of Michi while he was in class.
I think that
but
was,
like
you know,
said, he's not important enough
I
to remember.
I think that was supposed to establish the fact that like Michi hasn't been to school in a little while, so they're like, hey, what have you been up to? I haven't seen my, like, you know, school rival who I'm like trying to get better grades than. And in class, and Michi's just like,
school?
You fool, you're not in the 1/7th club.
It was it was honestly a matter of... exactly, just despite him not pursuing his education, not being a normal functioning member of society... Just
I'm
going
to fucking survive.
Just, I don't think you understand that I've accomplished more in the last X time than you ever will in the last 10 years of your life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is true!
Can I just say that I find, just an offhanded comment about this show, not specific to this episode, but I just find it hilarious that Japan's solution to our world being inevitably taken over by some sort of shadow world with horrible monsters that would sooner eat you than talk to you is to turn as many people as physically possible into Kamen Rider.
Well, let's specify that. First of all, that's not technically Japan's idea. It's Sengoku Ryoma's idea.
Yeah.
And B, it's not necessarily the fact that all of that 1/7 of the population is going to be riders.
Because
it's more just the side effect of having the belt.
If you remember in the early series, you see some of the Yggdrasil scientists wearing belts that did not have the sword. Thus, they can use the belts to resist
Sengoku
the fruit.
Sengoku Driver has the ability to make you resist the temptation to eat
just
the fruit.
And it also gives you the ability to pick the fruit and turn them into lock seeds.
So, you don't necessarily... doesn't necessarily mean that everyone's going to be riders.
That's why we were making the joke about the fake Kickstarter. If you pledge this much, your belt gets a sword.
But I kind of want, like, Kamen Rider post-apocalyptic society.
And that's why the fanfic someone writes will no doubt be awesome.
Yep.
Slash the alternate canon movie ending.
Yeah.
God, I hope that's a thing.
With, like,
Fies did it so well.
With, like, little old ladies tottering around just, like, being Kamen Riders.
Henshin!
Yeah, exactly. That's the fucking guy movie. Pull fucking Godspeed Love into Paradise Lost. It'd be fucking fantastic.
Well, Godspeed
what happens
Love was an ultra
when
prequel.
Helheim invades Earth and there's only 1/7 of the population left?
Toei, get on that shit.
Yeah, really, you're good at those movies.
Urobuchi will totally do it.
Oh, totally he will.
You're good at being surprisingly dirty.
See the end of the guy movie where just you see Sengoku Ryoma just falling down into Earth going, "My soul will stay with Yggdrasil forever!"
No.
God damn it.
No.
Urobuchi's just kind of like, "Wait a minute, so what you're telling me is you want me to make a movie where I get to kill people?
Where I get to destroy the world?"
Can I
do a recap?
I almost bet you the idea of that movie, he'll hear the idea of that movie and he'll just be like, "So you say you want an alternate ending movie where the world ended?"
Yep.
Alternate ending, you say? Alternate.
Oh, I see what you're doing.
It's like, alternate ending, you say?
That's what we said. Alternate.
Yeah. Right, sure. Alternate.
The implication here is that the actual series will end that way.
I'm almost... That's totally up his alley to do that. Yes.
I was explaining because I didn't think Lynn got it.
I know.
Pulling a little
Speaking of Lynn not getting it, Mr. Pink, it's your turn.
Hi. Alright.
Mr. Pink.
So, I guess a lot of you guys would find it silly that, you know, you just, like, it's like, "Oh, so how's Koda going to use, like, Jimba Peach or whatever? Like, how's he going to start?" You just see him going, "Alright, you're the only one I haven't used yet." And just use it, and he's like, "Alright, speed, power."
Doesn't
feel like one of those.
Ain't got those.
And then just him looking over, like, because he's like, "Wait, I heard Michi. Michi, over here! Michi!"
Yells
I'm
like a
here.
Fucking
just
goob
like,
at the top of a roof,
like,
and no one looks up until Michi eventually
turn into
does.
A retard at some point?
He is a retard.
Yeah, he's dumb. He's really dumb.
Did you say turned?
He seemed to be getting better.
Seemed being the operative.
He seemed like he was taking his meds.
Also,
like his therapy was going great.
And I'm glad Koda also agrees because I love the Peach Energy Chime. He just looks like he's just like, that sounds good. Before he puts in the driver, and I'm just like, fantastic. Jim and Peach, like, it's cool. I'm looking forward to seeing what Melon has. I like how when Michi said, like, "Oh yeah, there might be stronger invis out there in the forest," and everyone's just like, "Oh shit, he knows about the overlords."
And Michi looks at the look on all of their
it's
faces.
Like, so that's it.
And he's like, "Oh, I see.
That's what you're doing."
I saw the little twitch reaction from Sengoku and Minato, and I was like, "Ah,
why do I?"
And
feel,
Michi's
no.
like, "Oh, you guys already know."
Why the
shit.
Fuck do I get the feeling that the Yggdrasil is just? They're gonna pull a Zexor, like, you find out, "Oh, they're all Invis, like, overlord Invis the entire time, because all Zexor are, like, natives."
No, I don't think even they will go that way.
I hope not, because, you know,
At least one of them, but not all of them.
Fuck, that's, like, goddamn Kabuto, just everyone you know, and that all these characters you've known the whole time, worms, all them worms.
Malika is actually, if it had to be one of them, Malika seems most likely, because
exactly.
We still know nothing about her.
Ryoma's just like, "You and Kota are the two most interesting people I don't know yet, like, fully, and so I think Malika is one of them, which
would
be fucking awesome."
Just make sure you remember this if it does happen.
# spoiler, somebody in Yggdrasil is a Hydra agent.
Why?
Hail Hydra.
Why would you spoil that for me? Because obviously Cap takes place in this universe.
Anyways, Sigurd, like, fighting Gaim. That was cool. Yeah, Kachinoki's flags are, like, fucking tough as shit. His shotgun, the anesthesia gun, doesn't hurt them, but bounces them off with his fucking flags.
Yeah, I call bullshit, like, on that.
I don't. Also, I really noticed that I love the effects that he did where, like, when he chopped them in half, you just see, like, bits coming off of them and then just going, and then you explode. Like, I'm glad they, like, have a shit ton of budget. I guess Wizard did well for merchandise or something.
They sold a lot of bling.
Yeah, they did sell a lot of bling. good episode. I'm looking forward to next week because, yeah, like, I agree, like, more Gridon and Bravo, that's good. And I like Gridon. Gridon's cool.
I also like Gridon.
I have a feeling Jinnochi's going to be...
Well, if Raven's predictions about which characters linked to the actual Sengoku history are correct, Gridon's probably going to win.
Yeah, no, that's a thing. But yeah, because it's always a typical, like, oh, this guy's shit, he's not going to do anything. He comes back just...
I like to call...
I'm trained, I know what to do!
I like to call that archetype the Patamon.
Does the name Tokugawa ring any bells?
Yes.
Jonouchi. Yeah.
Just the face on Paul!
The face on Paul right now.
Just, oh no!
I'm just all kinds of sure that's who he is.
So yeah, his favorite writer's gonna fucking win the fucking war.
Can I just make something clear about this freaking acorn rider right here? I really, really like Gridon's design because it's so representative of the person using it. It's so simple, but it's such an expressive rider in that Jonouchi begins as a complete and total pussy-ass bitch, and so this freaking beige acorn rider looks like a real pansy-ass rider. But I keep looking at him with his cool plate armor and his Thor hammer, and I keep saying, no, if you were more badass, you'd be freaking awesome. And so, just the design of the rider just corresponds to that with me. And I feel like once he toughens up...
Which is apparently a subject matter in the next
episode.
That's
why I love his chime, never give up.
Gridon is going to be the most balls-to-the-walls awesome rider when he... like, gets his balls out of his mama's purse and starts...
I can't wait for him to betray Bravo and just start working for Yggdrasil.
I don't want to give away too much, but I did read the summary for the episodes airing this month, and apparently Gridon does break off from Oren at some point.
Wow, yeah.
I'm fucking...
Once again, if he was supposed to represent the character I think he does, yeah.
Well, considering I saw him running, like, and he looks super serious, glasses are off, and I'm just like, okay, he's going to actually fight,
and
seriously, awesome.
When that does happen, it's not going to end well for Bravo. Spoilers.
Great. I'm looking forward to that episode, I don't care.
Side face.
Anyways, we pretty much done with Gaim?
Let's board this train!
Game of Thrones of Kamen Rider, just saying.
Gaim of Thrones.
That's the joke. Okay.
Alright.
Time to board the next train.
Reshu Sentai Tokyuger!
Okay, Tokyuger episode 7, aka Nothing Really Happens.
AKA we're all high.
Wait till you get
to
me, I'll explain everything, because
I'm
the positive
AKA
part.
Please start, Caster Ichigo.
Yes.
That's right, I did it.
You totally did that. Anyways. Now, I watched this episode today at lunch.
At lunch.
Once again, what the hell, man?
I got nothing.
I'm gonna stress the point once again. I don't like this show.
I know.
I really don't.
I am starting to lose interest.
It's that moment where, oh yeah, hey, look at the monster. What does the monster this time do? He stamps them. Okay. You can punch them at the stamp. And they're down. Okay. Oh, and that bullshit little plot point in the beginning of Pink's worried that Green's pissed at her and he's not especially, but you know. And then they resolve that, like, literally, like, 10 minutes in.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh yeah, I wasn't mad at you at all. No, no, that was a thing. We just wasted 10 minutes of the show.
Even though I punched the fucking wall. No, I'm not mad!
I looked like I got fucking pissed with you. I punched the wall and everything. And no, I'm not pissed at you. What made you think that? Was it the punching the wall?
No, that was totally unrelated.
It just,
Can I just say this show sounds really fucking awful, and can I be completely uncensored when I finally catch up with it and, like, go on a rant?
Please. How much that'll be a topic, that'll be, like, a topic discussion when you finally catch up. We will have to dedicate a half hour to you ranting about Tokyuger.
You'll need to dedicate about 3 hours to securely fastening everything in this room to what it is supposed to be attached to, so that nothing is, like, dislodged or destroyed or anything.
I will have my father's cruise here in the morning.
Like I said last episode, don't fucking try to take this show seriously! Turn off your brain and enjoy it for what the fuck it is!
I tried that.
That's what I'm doing. I can't. It's not, even in that sense, it's not funny.
This show sounds like Pablum.
It was fun.
Episode 2 had one joke that kept me interested. Episode 3 had one joke that kept everyone talking about it. Now, since then, it's gone completely downhill.
It's obviously not trying to be serious. I'm not trying to go into it expecting it to be serious. But at the same time, it's not succeeding in being funny either. It's just a bunch of dumbasses running around, not accomplishing much aside from, oh, hey, look at that, we finally beat the monster. Yay. The Megazord battles end in one shot.
Yeah, because Tokyo's
rather best. Consistently.
And we have a shit ton of support Resha to collect still.
Oh, yeah, totally.
That's like the plot. Beat the shadows, collect the Resha.
And maybe finally this
King of Darkness they keep talking about will show up and whoop ass. I don't know.
They've been doing that a lot with recent Sentai. Yeah, the actual main villain. He's coming, I promise.
He's coming, we promise. It's totally a thing. And Lelouch is standing there like, he's going to kill the rest of you generals.
Okay. Are you about done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay, so pretty much the only entertaining part of this episode was Hikari playing with his Kendama, because that guy got skills. The only thing I really want to mention, up to this point, Wagon was just annoying and slightly entertaining. Now she's straight up pissing me off. The Rangers,
she went on strike.
No, what happened was the three out of the five Rangers get afflicted with a very serious mental condition, albeit the way they contracted is fucking stupid. But no, they get stamped in the face. And now they don't feel like doing anything, including saving the world. And so they're sitting there in the train, completely drained of the will to live, and Wagon's first thought is, I'm going to go on strike and take selfies with them because they're on strike me.
She tried to take selfies with them first because she thought it was funny that they didn't want to do anything because that's the opposite of their usual personalities. She started taking selfies with them, and then the conductor decided to be an asshole about it and said, don't do that, stop taking pictures. And she got pissed at him for telling her what to do, and proceeded to go on strike.
And assumed they were with her.
Is this a Sentai series about a bunch of useless YOLO swaggers accomplishing nothing with their robot that likes to take selfies everywhere?
Kinda.
Is this a social commentary on our on this current generation?
Hey, saving,
now that's using your imagination.
Saving, is this slightly more artsy than I think it is?
Hey, it's a story about how a Sentai team is going from town to town in Japan, saving the world one station at a time.
And that will be the tagline for the Power Rangers
and
version.
And also, their secondary objective, remembering where the fuck they came from.
Good, maybe when they gain their memories, they'll be fucking interesting.
The education system, going from
wait,
one
guys,
checkpoint
once the Sixth Ranger
another,
comes in, that'll be interesting.
I fucking hope so.
Diesel all looks fucking cool.
Of society.
Yeah, we've started seeing scans of their other Megazords, and they look vastly more interesting.
Cookie-cutter knowledge going around doing nothing with their YOLO swag robot with handles in all the right places who takes selfies everywhere. Social commentary abounds, you guys.
That's in. Selfies are in these days.
Social commentary Sentai, Artsy Ranger. There you
it's
go.
Art, you guys. It's highbrow.
Yes,
it's highbrow men in unitards.
Yes, because a robot dick punching its way out of a coffin is fucking highbrow.
Yes! Oh my god, the Freudian imagery of that fucking Megazord.
I'm officially calling this episode Paul Overanalyzes Everything.
Do you know how much dicks prominently in classical art? Do you?
George R. R. Martin remembers.
I know, this show is literally, like, Guy was trying to be the Game of Thrones, but it doesn't have the big floppy wieners. This has the big floppy wiener, and it's the biggest, floppiest wiener
in all So superhero of time television. Is collectively Game of Thrones.
We've done it, gentlemen!
Wow.
Just because there's a dick in it doesn't mean it's crude. It's art, you guys. It's art.
Oh my God.
I'm still gonna fucking hate this show.
Oh, what have we done?
I'm just going to have a lot more fun hating this show. And Lane, it looks like I just killed his dog that he loves so much.
Where the fuck were we again? I think it's your turn.
You know what? You know what? I understand now. Tokuger's for autistic people.
People at this point, it must be!
You know what? With derpy, childlike personalities like mine can only enjoy shit like this.
Or, you know... It's
Which means Tom also likes fucking Tokuger shit done, so that means he's autistic probably.
Or it's for kids and we're a bunch
of adults. Hey, let's not make assumptions like that.
Or it's for kids and we're a bunch of adults doing a podcast about kids shows.
Yeah, that one. Anyways, it's Kevin's turn now.
I have not much to say anyway. I just, like, oh god, that episode hurt. This was, and Lane, you know that I've been doing my best to enjoy Tokuger.
I kept looking over at Kevin during the episode, the he's like, nope.
I watched this episode, and I finally understood how Evan has felt this whole time. I sat there watching, who do I ask about my money and my time back? This episode provided zero. Like, there was no point, like, there was, like you said, oh, he's mad, like, it's supposed to kind of open up that, you know, something for her or something for him just about them, but the result was just, I ain't even mad, though.
I know. It's like, maybe that thing is important to you because you got it from somebody special, and $5 says you gave it to him.
It's like, yeah, no memories.
We have no memories. $5 says you gave it to him, bitch.
That's very likely.
But yeah, it was just very... I'm in it for the characters, so when you have an episode where there's not even any of that, the whole thing is just very... God, this is awful. That villain was the dumbest thing ever.
Yeah.
Congratulations, you usurped the trash bin.
Yeah.
This enemy was garbage.
Nice.
I think that's me trashing Tokuger.
Okay.
Mr. Pink, would you care to take the stage
and be the one shining light in this?
And prove us all, quote unquote, wrong.
No, okay. Anyways, I see it differently because I think it's a fun show. It's different from, it's like Forza. It's the Forza of Sentai. I can see that.
That is arguable.
Yes, I can understand why this is super fucking, no, because you know what? Probably Gohanger is better than Tokuger, probably.
Let's put it this way. I finished Forza. I didn't finish Gohanger.
Okay, but you know what? I bet if the trains fucking started talking and have personalities of their own, you would fucking lose, like, you would stop watching immediately, probably.
Oh, God, if the Russians...
Personally, I think the Zords talking and having personalities is fucking interesting, because it's something new.
No,
something
you know what it would? No, you know what would be... You know what would happen if the Russians did talk and had personalities? It really would be Power Rangers Thomas the Tank Engine, like we've been joking!
Well, anyways, I like this because, like, in this episode especially, you know, Hikari's thing is with the Kendama or whatever, like, that's his favorite toy. And so when they're fighting the monster, he's like, hey, Kagura, come here, I got an awesome idea. Let's be a fucking human Kendama. Oh no, he's about to attack, I'll just attack you or whatever, because you're about to do it. Switch lines, switch places quickly, and keep attacking.
Hey, Kagura, want to be my pool?
Exactly. That's fucking cool. Okay, so he wasn't mad at her for breaking the thing. Maybe he was just like, remembering something else, who fucking knows, but you know what?
It was grumpy. No, you know what it was? He was grumpy because it was late at night.
And
bitch, I'm gonna throw you at the monster.
In Sentai, there's always gonna be one or two episodes that are just gonna be stupid bullshit filler that's not like.
No, wait, I got it. You know how he said he wasn't mad at her? But then they do the whole weapon thing where he whips her at the monster. Maybe he was mad, and that's how he took out his anger.
There you go!
He was super pissed.
Ichi, did you just use use your imagination.
Anyways, that's cool. Also, another thing I'm interested in, I'm interested to see more of the conductor's movie collection, apparently. Vast movie collection he apparently has. Because he has a shit ton of ninja movies. And yes, I'm sad that Kagura didn't decide to use a ninja technique, because she's like, you know what? You've been stamping everybody! Let's see how you like being stamped!
I was expecting Ninja Girl. It didn't happen.
Yeah, you know what? That'll happen totally another did. Episode.
No, I'm like...
Megazord!
Also, Kagura looked fucking adorable in that pink ninja costume. Come on. She's cute.
Nope. Still more of a butterface than Yoko was.
This must nothing be beats hell. Fucking monkey ears from Ghost Ager.
Anyways, you done? Because we've spent way too much time on this already.
This must be hell. It shows me Gaim, but it
also, I like General Swartz or whatever, he's still just like, he's an honorable guy because Grizz is like, I want you to have this because, you know, to recover and heal faster. And he's like, no, I don't need that. Thank you, though. I'm a badass.
I want to bear your baby nuggets.
And I'm so can't wait for this emperor to show up because if he's as awesome as Actos Gil was in Gokaiger, I am excited to see this fucking emperor when he arrives.
Like we keep saying, the most interesting part of Tokyuger is how gorgeous the villains are.
Because Walls Gil is a pussy-ass piece of shit. I'm just relating!
No, I know, but we've spent way too much time on this already. Time to move on to our topic of the week.
Hold on. Before we go any further, since that's the perfect picture, who farted?
Not me.
Not me.
Wasn't me.
Paul.
No.
Someone farted because it fucking reeked for like... I'm just sitting here while someone was explaining something. I was like,
it was probably boy.
Someone fart?
Safe to say you should edit this part out, Alex.
It was awful.
I fucking, you better.
If you smelt it, you would cry.
Keep it in. Anyway, so, now our topic for this week is going to be favorite tokusatsu toys. Because there's a shit ton of them, and there's a ton of them that we like. And also some that were just like,
why did they do this?
Why did we have these? So, all right, Raven,
what do you? I own a grand total of two.
Well, you're over here enough to play with what we
have. There's some that you played with, and you're like,
I know. You guys have a big enough collection over here that I have.
We literally have a room that is the toy room.
Yeah, no, that's a thing.
Kinky.
Oh, yes.
I'd be over here more.
All the Lady Toku fans.
No, but anyways, yeah. My collection involves a really crappy Kuga belt and...
What, the Legend one?
No, well, the really shitty one.
Sorry, I just imagined a sex toy collection that features the Red Ressha.
Yeah.
Yep.
You mean the one right over there?
I'm just imagining a Kuga-themed dildo called Mighty.
Amazing Mighty.
Really shitty Kuga belt. I think it's the one with the little switch on the top.
Yeah, that's the Decade Legend series.
You push it down and it spins.
That's the one from Decade.
And I've also got the Sasord Saber.
The Sasord Dagger.
The sword thing.
The sword that's really, really short.
It's the Sasord Kukri.
Yeah, pretty much. Aside from that...
The sword cock ring?
I said kukri. It's a style of dagger.
Oh.
I really...
Play more RPGs, Paul.
How disappointing.
I really think out of all of them, though, including the stuff you guys have, I think I really do like the sword one better.
I figured that would be your answer.
Despite how small the actual sword is, that's my one complaint about it, because I just really like fucking around with that thing.
I would love a sword cock ring.
Yes.
Yes.
Then you get corkscrews around.
You get the poison bitches.
No.
Yeah, that's me.
We have glowing orange.
Anything on favorite toy?
Least
favorite.
My legend, Kuga.
Most and least favorite toys.
No, despite how shitty the quality of that thing is, it's still fun to get the Kuga sound effects out of it. So I'm like, whatever. I really wish it went ultimate though.
Yeah.
It's just kind of stuck between the basic forms. But, I digress a little. Most annoying one you guys have.
His least favorite is something you own.
The Forza driver!
Oh, God, yeah. That's a bad show.
As impressive as it is as a toy,
as a
piss on
actually,
the thing.
Actually, no.
Throw it in the lava.
It's not Forze.
Oh.
It's those fucking Tokuger things that Lane has.
Oh, the Tokuger.
The Tokyo Noisemaker, you mean?
Yes. The Tokyo Noisemaker. The frigging morpher from Tokuger, he has it, and oh god, is that thing loud and annoying.
See, yeah, Kevin posted this picture where it was like, it showed the Tokyo changer, and it's like, what Lane hears? And then, what everyone else hears? And it just showed three noisemakers, and I was like, I ain't even mad, I agree.
But I'm still gonna do it.
I'm still gonna fucking do it, like, David fucking hates this thing to death.
I'm amazed he hasn't destroyed it.
Yeah.
He hasn't been here enough to destroy it.
No, I know, but while he was here.
Yeah.
Is that you done?
I'm done, yeah.
Alright, Ainsley, this will be interesting.
Oh, this is so hard. I have so many favorites. Let's start with my least favorite, actually.
Legend Vise Driver? No. You were so disappointed when you got
that. That's more like I didn't know the Legend series were a thing. But I would say the toy I was the most disappointed by is the DN driver. Because I like DN and I love what he can do. And then the toy version turned out to be such a piece of shit.
Yep.
It literally just goes to the same four sounds and it doesn't even say DN.
Nope.
Most favorite. Well, right now it's definitely the fucking 1/7th club belt. A.K.A. the Sengoku driver. I just can't get enough of that thing. It's been at my desk since I got it.
And your Fize Blaster.
Oh, that's another one I was going to mention. A.K.A. my Fize Keyblade.
Yeah.
You put it into the sword mode, but don't take the sheath off the actual blade. Stick the nozzle out from the blaster, and it's a fucking Keyblade. Look at it.
Also, it wishes you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
It does.
That's fucking awesome.
It does those things. It also summons and gives orders to all three of the support mechs from Fize.
Mm-hmm.
What else would I call my favorite? That's a tough choice. I'm just going to go with those two.
Alright.
Just to save time. Mr. Keba!
I'm actually having a difficult time trying to piece together which was my least favorite, as there is a short but strong line of competitors for the worst spot. Funny enough, one of them's the Tokyo Changer. I assure you, it's on the list. As far as favorites, honorable mention, for just me personally, has to go to A, the B-Zector, B,
B, the B-Zector.
A, the B. What?
Wait, let me try that again.
A, the B, B, the BB? I didn't know there was a BB gun in Tokusatsu. The Hopper-Zector, that thing is amazing, and C, the Kachidoki gun. Those were like
DJ gun.
Sure, that one too. That was like the running for just kind of things that I've seen and just kind of, oh, that was really good. My number one tokusatsu toy has to be the Driveblade.
Oh, yeah?
It just, not necessarily for what it is or what it did for them in the show as a toy, it's phenomenal. The detailing's nice. The sounds it has are really cool. It has so many different functions. It's got like three different kinds of game on it. There's a game where you're driving around in the Zord and it will give you directions as to what you need to do. It'll be like, oh, the enemy's coming, turn left.
It does that?
Yes.
Someone's shooting Jay, you have to protect him, so you shoot the button to shoot at
Oh my
the
god!
Yeah,
man.
I never even looked up a review of this. Yeah. I just figured this is a gun sword, whatever.
No, and that's the thing. For a sword weapon, it's not that big a letdown. I mean, it's a letdown as any sword weapon. But I looked at the dimensions and I measured it out. I was like, that's surprisingly large for a sword weapon.
Wow.
And I look very forward to adding that to my collection.
Okay.
Trying to go back to least favorite. Oh, I feel like we're just kind of throwing the same vibes around the room. Now,
I feel like we're all imagining the same thing.
I don't hate the Wizard Driver enough, despite the fact that I don't like the series, to say that it is my least favorite toy. The Forze Driver is a pain in the ass. Almost as much as the Tokyo Changer.
At least the Tokyo Changer isn't a belt you would have to lug around to use.
It's gotta be the Tokyo Changer, because I can't think of anything I hate more than it.
I actually really don't mind the Tokyo Changer. It's actually one of the only things about them I like.
You know what? Maybe I'm just being too hard on the idea that, like, I'm outweighing what it does as a toy by how fucking god-awful annoying it is.
Yeah, it is a mouthy bastard.
But that's just it. If I'm gonna be sitting there... I almost feel bad for people when, like, we're sitting there with the lock seeds, and I was like, those things are noisy enough. This thing won't shut the fuck up. Start to finish, just does not stop talking. And, I don't know, I feel like that, for me anyway, would just kind of ruin my experience. I'd play with it for 5 minutes and then just go, okay, shut up, daddy's got a headache. yeah, that's me.
Alright. So, I guess if I had to go with least favorite, Tokyo Changer, no.
Surprise from left field!
Surprise,
motherfucker!
Yeah, I gotta go, like, the end driver. That's disappointing. The Fize Edge.
That you mean the Fize Nub?
Yes, it's so disappointing. Like, I actually at one point was like, I'm actually gonna take an actual bike handle, put, like, a big-ass red fucking stick onto it, and that'll be a fucking better
I just bought a red buffer sword and said, this is good enough.
Exactly. What else? I had it in my head just now that I lost. Oh, the Ryuki belt. Piece of shit. All you do is just slip a thing in. That's it.
Yeah.
That's up there.
A lot of those early belts were really simple, though. I mean, look at the blade belt.
The blade belts were really bad. Because they didn't... They were cool. They got the job done for what it was supposed to represent.
Yeah.
It did nothing.
Combined with the fact that despite having one feature and one feature alone, it was still really fucking bulky.
I'm not a big fan of the Dengasher toy.
I
love the Dengasher in the show, but if they made a complete selection Dengasher...
Is that the one with the faces on it?
No, the Dengasher is Denno's weapon. The one
that's the liner sword.
Liner sword's fucking piece of junk.
Well, that one's actually called the Den Common sword.
Okay, anyway, that one's horse now.
Yeah.
If they made a complete selection Dengasher with, like, actual, like, all the pieces...
It would have to come with a separate thing just for rod form.
Exactly! It'd be fucking fantastic.
No, but I love the Dengasher because I've made up my own modes with it all the time.
Yeah, so those are my least favorite. My absolute favorites would definitely be Hot Prosectors up there because it's a two-in-one toy. It's a Kabuto toy. Like, you can't fucking... It's amazing.
Two riders for the price of one.
Yes, exactly. And I love the Hoppers.
Well, half the Riders, because they don't have mask form.
Well, true.
Wizard Sword Gun. Like, that thing cost me $90, but honestly, I love the gun, I love the sound it makes, I love the, like, voice, I love that you can use all the rings with it. Yeah, exactly.
It's right also now. The only Tokusatsu toy you can shake hands with.
Yeah, like, I mean...
And also fist bump!
It's better than the Ride Booker.
that's true.
The Excalibur from Wizard.
Oh, that
Wizard
thing is Infinity's spectacular. Weapon.
It's fucking gorgeous.
It actually hurts when you hit people with it.
And it's a good size. Like, it's a really good size.
Oh, yeah, you can high-five it, too. I never tried that.
The Deca Driver. I love the Deca Driver. I just love the sounds it makes and everything.
A.K.A. the POV camera.
I guess if I had to pick, like, a final one... The lock seeds, like, they're ingenious. There's so much playability in them. They all have their own unique sounds, and they're fantastic. Better than the Gaia memories ever were. Oh, I know another least favorite. The O's Driver.
I was going to say the O's Driver is one of my favorites.
I don't like it, because it's so simple.
I was going to say the O's Driver is one of my good ones. Because I love it.
Because there could have been so much more they could have integrated into the scanner. Like, they could have put in the Tamashii combo.
They did leave out a handful of things that probably could have, should have been in the belt.
True, but despite what they left out, it did have a shit ton of functionality.
One more from one of my favorite toys, definitely. The Metagod Ryu. Like, any axe toy is just fucking fantastic.
It was literally an axe that was also a dinosaur that ate coins and burped.
And yes, and you could do the combos and stuff like that. It's just, yeah. It's really cool. Like, when Ichi and I found one at the Omicron, like, years ago, we were like, we're fucking
buying it. Anyways.
Oh, yeah, one final one, sorry.
Probably he gets to make mention more because he's bought them all!
Favorite means one thing.
I know.
This is my number 9 favorite!
And the Mobileites.
Lane's top 10 Togo toys.
And the Mobileites, because...
Because Go Geyser. Yeah, cause anyways, Paul.
Favorite Toku toy of all time were my 8-inch Power Rangers action figures growing up.
Oh, and, there you go, figures.
Well, here's the thing about that. They were a good, solid height for an action figure for the time. They were 8 inches tall. You could hold them and pose them and walk them around like actual people. They weren't little things you had to, like, grip in your fingers and trot around. Articulated as fuck. Like, every conceivable joint. Finger joints, ankle joints, like, Achilles tendon joints, freaking elbow joints, wrist joints, neck joints, every type of joint you can think of.
And that's why you should start looking into the SH Figure Arts
they
line.
Had SH they... Figure Arts level thing, or level articulation. They had stiffer joints. Like, when I hold an SH Figure Art, it feels like a marionette sort of thing. Like, the joints sort of flop down.
Yeah, they're a little loose.
Yeah.
Some of them are, but they're the really good ones. Like, the Thomas Schwab exclusives are really have tight joints.
And second one, because I personally don't collect Toku toys to the extent that these guys do. The only two Toku toys I've ever owned were pretty much all of the Ixa gear, and those I got through presents from Ichi.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I always wanted a Dragon Dagger. I want the Legacy Dragon Dagger, but I want the 90s Dragon Dagger always had that sort of, like,
I have one. It doesn't have... The sounds aren't working, but I have it.
It was the OP Power Rangers toy for me. Like, oh, yeah. It was just the one...
That was the one thing everyone had to have.
Also, Titanus. And it still is. I wanted Titanus. I've always had a soft spot for Titanus as a Zord. In terms of my least favorite, this is where we get into the Kamen Rider toys, and I am going to have to dip into those Ixa ones. Least favorite, Ixa Calibur, dude.
No, I understand.
It was, like, it was... I've seen Ixa Calibur in the show, and I know they couldn't have built it to scale, but it was a freaking, like... dagger, and, like, their excuse for making it longer was, like, a little red nib at the end of it.
Yeah.
It extended a little bit. I was like, that's a ripoff.
Yeah.
Like, it was, it had zero functionality. It was just a sword with a little extendable tip at the end of it.
Well, it was also a gun.
That, too, but it didn't really do all that much, and it just...
No. It made slash sound, and it made a shoot sound.
Yeah, it was a pretty useless toy. It wasn't very...
Honestly, thinking back, the Ixa Calibur's design itself was kind of weird.
Oh god, Tatsalot. That thing's a fucking annoying piece of shit.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say... I was considering just being spiteful and going with the Forze driver or something like that, because I've been boycotting Neo Heisei for so long, and Forze represents everything I ever have and ever will loathe about Tokusatsu. But... I have to pay respect to the Forze driver as a toy. It's a damn functional toy. It's got playability. The combinations you can pull off with it, like, you can go for days.
Yep. Oh, yeah, that is true.
It's a damn entertaining toy. It's an impressive-looking toy. It's bulky, but it looks like it's supposed to be bulky.
Yeah.
It's appropriately bulky, is what I'm trying to say. There are so many... The Blade toys, like I mentioned before, I played with those a little bit. I've had occasion to play with pretty much every single toy you guys have ever owned. And the Blade toys were kind of lackluster, like you said, but again, there wasn't much more they could do.
That more stems from the fact that we never got around to getting the really good Blade toys, none of the Rousers.
Yeah, but it was a gimmick that didn't lend itself very well to toy sales. There are so many ineffectual toys that just didn't live up with their rider belts, but in the end, just the Ixa gear kind of just didn't do it for me. And a lot of my favorite toys just came from my childhood, just sort of came from the Power Rangers days. So, yeah, that's me.
I'd like to make a formal nomination for Best Worst. Legacy Titanus. Beautiful. Lee, $200.
Jesus.
Yeah, I'd buy it. As I said just a few minutes ago, I love Titanus.
I'd like to think I would buy it because, like, the fanboy in me's like, but then I have the full Megazord, and then my wallet's
Ultrazord.
Kind of, sure, and then my frigging wallet's kind of like, but my ow.
Have they released? They released Legacy Dragon Lord? Yet.
Not yet.
No, that's I'm waiting for that.
I was gonna say it should be out in the States right now, which means
it is.
Yeah, if it comes out in the States, we usually see it a month or two later.
I have my nice little Dragon Lord toy that combines with my Black Megazord.
Yeah, you
that
have the fucking Black Megazord. Yeah, why didn't you mention that?
That'll get completely and utterly usurped by the Legacy.
Probably.
Entirely.
But geez, man, that thing is awesome, though. Okay, yeah, that, we were discussing this earlier. Paul was going through the very articulated Power Rangers twice. I had the full set of six of those.
Yeah.
Plus the Black Megazord, which is, you know, the MMPR Megazord, except all the Zords are completely black and gold.
Ooh, can I be totally hipster right now and, like change my favoriteest tokusatsu toy of all time?
Sure.
My Mecha Godzilla toy.
Oh, there you go.
It's technically Toku.
Yeah,
that's true.
Well, a lot of people would argue that was the inspiration for the Dragon Zord.
Yeah, I had a talking Mecha Godzilla toy, and a Jet Jaguar. I love Jet Jaguar.
Oh, what's that from?
Jet Jaguar is pretty awesome.
Yeah,
Jet Jaguar from Jet Jaguar.
He was he was a Godzilla hero who was kind of ripped off from Ultraman, or Ultraman ripped off to become like him. Or something.
Who knows? Okay. One or the other.
Yeah, he looked like Ultraman.
Okay, there we go. Godzilla. All right, so no doubt everyone listening is now running to eBay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can only hope.
Buying up all the DN drivers and Forza drivers and Tokyo changers.
Go buy a Sengoku driver. Your life literally depends on it.
Yeah, come join the 1/7th Club.
# advertising for Toei.
Good job. I'm sure you'll receive a check in the mail.
Oh, I would assume not, but it would be appreciated.
All right.
I love you, Bandai.
Thanks for watching, listening, whatever.
Hail Hydra.
I already said
this episode's sponsored by Hydra.
I mean Toei. I mean Bandai.
I mean Hydra.
I mean S.H.I.E.L.D. Fuck!
I mean Calibra.
Hail Calibra!
Fail Nobra!
No, it's Fail Nobra. Anyways.
Hail Cobra!
Shooka!
Yeah, Lane got the Shocker Arms, Luxeed. That's a thing.
Oh, yeah, Shocker Arms. It's amazing.
Anyways, thank you for listening episode 6 of Cast Ranger. Subscribe to us on iTunes or on our Podbean website or on the YouTube channel when this eventually goes up.
Whenever this goes up, because Dave does that and he's in the hospital.
At the time of the recording. Thanks again for listening. Be awesome. Tune in next time. Tell all your friends. Spread the word of the Cast Rangers. Also, check out our... as of this recording, we recently did a video of the Chroma Squad Alpha, which is a game about an indie Sentai TV studio.
Pretty sweet.
Pretty sweet game. We're all looking forward to it.
And, as fuck.
And you, it is. And you can check that out on the Ixie Studios channel.
So come listen to us if you're looking for a good time and a Morphin time.
Yes, a mighty Morphin time.
No, just a Morphin time.
Oh, okay. Now I'm sad.
Cheers, Trey!
Please edit that out.